My name is Daniel Shoptaw, an Arkansas accountant with a love for the Cardinals. I spent a lot of years watching the game before deciding to write about it. Now I express my thoughts and opinions at C70 at the Bat, part of the Cardinal Conclave. His name is Dan Buffa, a former Busch Stadium scoreboard operator with a passion for the game. His writing talents can be found throughout the internet on a variety of topics, including movies and anything St. Louis. You'll find him often bleeding out words at stlouissportsminute.com. Every week, we pool our knowledge and our opinions to create this podcast. Together, we are the best Dans in baseball. Welcome in to the first Best Dans in Baseball of 2016. I'm Daniel Shopton, that's Dan Buffa. We're coming to you Wednesday night right before winter warm-up. The weather is still not quite wintry, not as wintry as it could be, but it's cold, so we'll give it that. It's still kind of a dead period, but the Cardinals have made some news, and we're going to kind of hit some topics here over the next little bit. And we'll probably go ahead and start with the fact that the Cardinals signed a reliever last week. And not your typical reliever. They went over to Korea and got I can't imagine what Mike Shannon's going to do to this.
He's probably just going to say Mr. O.
He's going to say the old man. Old man coming in.
If he tries to handle that first name and it's, oh man, it's going to go bad.
Sung Won Ho.
There you go.
Something like that. So
I'm probably going to shred it. I think we should just call him Mr. O.
O is pretty much where we're going to go.
There you go. It is rhymed.
Yeah, it's hard not to. We've already done the puns of oh my and oh really and
oh yeah.
hello, stuff of that nature. But anyway, it's interesting though. I mean, one, you know, the bullpen is not something that we have been focused on much this off season. They brought Jonathan Broxton back. We saw Carlos Villanueva go to the Padres today. But we haven't really looked at that for them to be going out and getting some people. To get this guy from Korea, a closer over there in the Korean Baseball League, a guy that's got some success over there. It's just a little interesting that they went to that route, but hopefully this means, you know, a little bit stronger back of the bullpen.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I think about less innings on Rosenthal and Kevin Seager. Hopefully their arms won't be Swiss cheese in October. I mean, that's the one biggest thing that stood out to me about the playoffs is that those guys are just kind of worn out, especially Mr. Seacrest. So hopefully, and it also tells me that Jordan Walden is not expected to do much, because if you bring back Jonathan Broxton and you go out and get this guy, who, you know, according to Jeff Passan, Yahoo Sports, is that Mariano Rivera of Korea, he's got a lot of saves. He strikes out a lot of guys. I mean, it's just so hard to compare data in a Korean baseball organization to a major league baseball team. But, you know, at the least, he's a guy that's going to challenge for a spot in late innings and hopefully allow Seacrest to maybe go back to the seventh inning spot. And you have, you know, O in the eighth and then Rosenthal in ninth, or maybe you flip-flop those guys. I just see him as a guy who can take innings and some pressure and make guys like Rosenthal and Seacrest more fresh when it comes to September and October.
I think you're right on Walden. That's the first thing that came to my mind as well, is that they are either not expecting his injury to let him be ready for the beginning of the year, or they're really not expecting much out of him this year at all, which is a disappointment.
It's really it's unfortunate, because he was a guy that was supposed to be – he was a guy who could close, he could set up. He had a – when he did pitch in April, he was really good. I think he pitched like 10, 12 times, knowing Mr. Matheny. But, yeah, it really makes it a damper on what he can do even possibly going forward in 2017-18.
Well, and I mean, he's only got that two-year contract. I mean, he's a free agent at the end of the year, and that's really disappointing. It's kind of like Jason Mott, signed the two-year deal, immediately got hurt, and it was out for, you know, majority of that deal. If Walden's back, yeah, this back this bullpen, and you've got Seacrest, you've got O, you've got Walden, you've got Rosenthal, you've got Broxton, you've got
Maness. I mean, you can really shorten some games down, which is not a significant issue with the starters you have, but still good to have. You know, like you said, gives you a chance to say, okay, Rosenthal worked 2 days in a row. We don't have to worry about him coming in here. We'll bring in O or Broxton or somebody else.
And also, it also allows you to maybe let Sam Tuivasa get a little more work down in the minors, kind of get not have to rush him into a big role. I mean, I think he's going to be on this team at some point this year, but it also allows you to maybe slowly move him along a little bit.
Yeah, I don't see Tui. Yeah, he still has one more option here, doesn't he?
He has one more option here. Right? Yeah. I think basically that you know he can ride the I-55 bus.
Yeah, and that's probably what he'll do, especially with the guys. When you look at, you know, Tyler Lyons is out of options. You've got Marco Gonzalez who will probably do back and forth. You've got Tim Cooney who may do some of that. There's gonna be some guys going flipping around as they kind of run those arms to the bullpen. But I think the biggest thing is that this really seems to me that they are getting a feel for at least the Korean market about what people are like. The Cardinals have often been a team that, you know, I remember them said they were going to focus on the American draft until they got that where they felt like they were very comfortable with their processes and their evaluations, and then they would start working on different international things. They got O. They put in a bid on the park that the Twins actually got. They came up, stunningly enough, came in second on that. Seems to be the theme of the off season. We're in on the guy from Pittsburgh, which I can't. Kang, right?
Kang.
You know, they were in on him last year as well, before Pittsburgh signed him. So they're getting comfortable at least with that part of the Asian market now. Whether we'll see them, you know, are they going to start working in Cuba? Or are they going to start working on other things? You know, I don't know, and we'll have to see what O does. I think there's been three other Korean relievers that have come over, and I don't think any of them had the stature that O does, but none of them lasted more than a season. They've only pitched a season each in the big leagues. O's got a one-year deal with an option for a second. It's a pretty cheap, $5 million or something for this year.
Yeah.
It's definitely a worth the gamble for what he could bring to the table. So it's kind of an interesting move. I don't think anybody expected that to be the signing.
No, I think people are just everybody is so focused on the offense that they're still looking at those guys, and it doesn't help that all those guys are still in the market. And then that kind of saturates really the fascination of this Cardinal fan base. So nobody's thinking about the Cardinals are going to go, dip back into Korea and grab a setup guy. But it's definitely – it strengthens the back of their bullpen. It gives them some more strength and some more, backup. Because as you said, there's a lot of guys that out of options like Lyons, who's going to have to be up here. Cooney's going to be factoring. And you got a lot of guys who could be big, stretch, long guys, or you got starters. – So I guess you can't have enough pitching, and I guess maybe that's what Mo was doing. He did say in the week after the Hayward signed with the Cubs, he was going to focus on pitching. When I got Leak, and now he gets O. So I still think I think it's just an unlikely chance that he's going to get one of those bats, but I think he's just doubling up on pitching.
Yeah, I mean it's in. I mean, this Cardinals are a run prevention team, the starters are going to regress a little bit from last year on the whole, because last year was just such a historic run. But maybe you can mitigate that a little bit with a stronger bullpen and hopefully a full year of Adam Wainwright. Maybe you can keep it close to what it was. But, still, without Jason Hayward, that offense still seems to need a little something. So, like you say, those outfielders, I don't think anybody has signed. Or at least not any of the big ones. I mean, you still have Cespedes, you still have Upton.
Yeah, I mean, they're all there. I mean, I was even writing last week about a guy like, Gerardo Parra, who just signed with the Rockies. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that wouldn't cost you too much. He could play all three spots. Generally the market's coming down. I mean, Gordon signed that deal with the Royals.
Yeah.
Parra signed the deal with the Rockies. They have a lot of outfielders. I don't see the Cardinals making a trade with them. But, yeah, I think it just depends. If all of a sudden Upton gets up one day and goes, I'm done waiting, I'll take a 1 or 2 year deal, you know, the Cardinals would be the first one on the top of his list. I mean, they want to sign him. I just don't think Mo values these guys and whether we really agree with them or not. I mean, I'm a Cespedes fan. I understand the risk of Cespedes and Davis. I mean, if you sign Davis, you essentially have three left-handed power-hitting first basemen. So I understand why he's unlikely, and he's represented by Boris, and he's got the highest price tag that's been offered to him by the Orioles. But, you know, Cespedes is a guy I keep looking at, but maybe, you know, maybe Mo has talked to their agents and they still want a six-year deal, $100 million. And then maybe Mo's out just doesn't value these guys as much as the fans do.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Somebody's going to get him a deal, I think.
Yeah.
And the market for those guys is shrinking. I mean, some of those guys that have needed outfielders, like you said, Kansas City has gotten Gordon. I think Span went out to the Giants or something like that.
Yeah, and I really would have thought that these guys would be off the board, especially when Hayward signed his deal. The fact that it really went cold, it was very surprising. And here we are, we're a month later and 2 days after Hayward signed his deal. And, you know, they're still out there, which makes me think either their agents are being like trying to be magicians, are they just want too many years? I think, as we all know with the Cardinals, it's just about years. It's not really about money or yearly rate. I just think, do these guys want 5 or 6, 7 year deals? Or whenever they come down to 3 or 4, will the Cardinals make that move?
Man, that draft pick is still a drag. I mean, as much as we've said that maybe you shouldn't. And again, it's not necessarily just the draft pick, but it's also the reduction.
How high it is.
And the reduction in pool money that you know that cuts away from the money that you can use on everybody else. And while the Cardinals are going to get, two extra ones, and so expand that money out, they still may not be willing to give up, you know, a pick with that monetary value attached. If it was just the pick, maybe it's not as big a deal. And that's something that with the CBA being redone this year is probably going to be addressed at some point in time. I don't know how they're going to do it, but they almost have to because you surely don't want to see. I mean, I don't think it's really that great for baseball to have, you know, big, huge free agents like this sitting out there, basically a month until spring training.
And that's kind of what really makes me like Cespedes is he isn't going to cost you a pick. I mean, he's just a guy that I know he's got the red. I think all the guys left in the market have red flags. I mean, I think the only guy that didn't have a red flag was Jason Hayward. I mean, everybody else in the market has got some kind of warning sign on him. But, you know, Cespedes, I just see a guy, especially I've heard competing reports that he's been willing to play right field. He hasn't been willing to play right field. If he's willing to play right field, I really don't necessarily think he blocks anybody. I mean, if he blocks anybody, he might block Brandon Moss, who's going to be here on a 1 year deal at most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, Moss and Adams are probably going to be at first base a lot, even though they're both left-handed. So, but anyway, I mean, when you go back to O, I don't think that any of us expect Mariano Rivera out of him. I mean, we still need to see how that translates, but if he can have similar success to what he had in Korea, it makes for a very potent eighth inning. And you look at the fact that Segrist and Maness threw so many games last year. I mean, not necessarily the innings, although they were up there too, but you know, they were out there in almost every other game. Getting a chance to use somebody else, hopefully, and again, it's Mike Matheny, and we wonder about how the bullpen usage is going to be, but getting another guy out there that should have experience in big, late, close innings has only got to have a ripple effect, you would think, throughout the rest of the bullpen.
Yeah, I mean, it's just you really want these guys to be stretched out. I mean, you don't want to wear down, especially if you got a Tui Valala, if you got O, if you got all these guys. I mean, you don't want to see a guy like Segrist and Rosenthal get shredded up by October, because if those guys are fresh, it just makes your whole bullpen that much stronger. And you know, we just saw the Royals last year who don't really have a prominent offensive star. I mean, they want it with defense. They want it with good pitching, good bullpen. So it can be possible. It's just I'm with you in thinking that, you know, this offense could use a little bit of something. And I wrote about it a couple of times. If you go into the season, you're pretty much betting on a hypothetical that, you know, if you get a whole season of Randall Grichuk, maybe he is going to be your Cespedes. If you get Piscotty for a whole season, that's just you're making those bets that hopefully you score more than 2 runs a game. And maybe if Mo just direly doesn't value those guys. Maybe that's why he's going out and just loading up on pitching. I mean, that has to be the reason that why he dipped back into the Korean market. He must not like what he's seeing from Cespedes and Upton's agents.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's so hard because, I mean, we got just over almost four to five weeks until we get into, spring training and of course a big deal is kind of sort of unlikely by then. You would think these guys, especially after the Gordon deal where the market was redefined, I mean, if Gordon can get 4 years, 72 from the Royals, that pretty much has to make guys like, Cespedes and Upton, who are, 2 or 4 years younger, get some a little bit more. But no team is coming forward. I mean, it isn't like you've seen Bob Nightingale or John Morosi go, okay, the Orioles offered this guy, but then he turned it down. I mean, you're just not hearing anything. I mean, there's no chatter at all. I just wonder what these guys like Upton and Cespedes are doing. I mean, because I'm with you in the fact that their dollar range is going down by the week.
Yeah, the only thing that's going to help them out, and I say that in the regard, and it's not one of those things you want to see, but if you're a guy like that, you kind of almost hope for spring training and somebody gets hurt early, and a team on a contender, that a team that needs, immediately needs to fill that spot, and maybe they go out and overpay or get you a year or a year with an option or something like that. But the closer you get to February, it seems very unlikely you're going to see a 4 or 5 year deal on a guy. So, I'd like to think that Mo would be in there if it drops down to a year or year option type of thing. I don't know that there's any guarantees of that. I mean, Mo has always said that he is comfortable with this, and I don't know that how much of that is public posturing and how much of that's actual truth. I think it's probably more actual truth than anything else. I think he looks at this team. Now, I know at Redbird Rants, I didn't get to read the article, but one of your fellow writers over there kind of said that, at least from the headline, that the Cardinals were being delusional about their offense. And I think there's an argument to be made there. I think that they are maybe looking at it a bit with rose-colored glasses. And, they always have more information than we do. They run the projections, whatever. But when you look at it, and we've talked about it many times before, when you're talking about, return to health from Holiday, and you got young guys that you kind of project what they have and hope nobody else gets hurt. It's just all in all a lot of ifs that can go right, but not necessarily going to.
Yeah, I mean, and that was Chris Green. I mean, he wrote a column that's called "The St. Louis Are in Denial." And, he uses, WRC+, is basically 100s of the average. In 2011, we were at 119, and last year we were at 103. So we're still above average. But, I guess you just think about what Hayward said. I mean, we don't want to think about it, but, you got a guy like Yadier Molina who's getting older. His thumb's been a problem. Holiday's a little bit older. I mean, I think a big part of it is Johnny Peralta. I mean, if he can kind of benefit from the rest, then hopefully Jerko and maybe Aledmys Diaz gives him. I mean, maybe if he can get back to what he was doing in 2014. But, I look down this lineup, and for me, it's two guys. It's just Piscotty and Grichuk. I mean, if they turn into something that we haven't previously had, like if Grichuk plays 130 games, I mean, he could easily hit, 25, 30 home runs. But if he can actually get there, that's the biggest problem. And same thing with Piscotty with a full season of health. Brandon Moss is a guy that John Nagel over at Cardinals Farm has talked about. Maybe people are underestimating it. Now that he's back to full health with his hip, maybe he turns in a season that nobody's seeing. It's just, for me, what I stress is that it's a lot of hypotheticals. And yes, a hypothetical can go it can go your way, but it can also easily go against you. And it's just, if you're hoping for older guys to stay healthy, if you're hoping for younger guys to do stuff they have not done before. I mean, yes, Grichuk was great for 2 months last year. He was hitting homers and doubles and triples, but then all of a sudden in the playoffs, he couldn't make a throw from the outfield. So it's just, it's one of those things where you worry about his elbow, you worry about Holiday's legs. It's just, I mean, what is Matt Adams going to give you? Are you going to, I mean, now that Brian Peña can hopefully not make Yadier Molina have to catch 140 games, but it's just all these things, and they make you go, why don't you just go out and get a guy like Cespedes who puts you over the top, and he'll protect your pitchers. What he did with the Mets, and people just disregard it, is that last year with the Mets, I mean, you know, he and the Tigers, he was a 6-WAR player, and he's won a Gold Glove, and he's got a great arm, and he's a guy that could be a definitive cleanup hitter. I mean, he, to me, has the least amount of red flags, and even though he's 2 years older than Upton, you know, is he gonna tail off like his brother? I mean, you know, he may want more years, but I see a guy like Upton or Cespedes, and I just go, man, this guy could really fit in this lineup, especially if he plays right field. And it isn't like you have to, you know, Piscotty and Grichuk, they don't have to play every day. I mean, they're both young guys. I mean, they can develop into. We all know there's going to be spots around this on this field for people to step up and play. We know they're going to get their playing time. Maybe let them come along at their own pace and get a guy like Cespedes who could really protect your pitchers in late in the game. He's got a bat that can change a game, and he isn't going to cost you a Davis, and he isn't going to bring as much risk as Upton. He's a guy I've had my eyes on since the All-Star break and since the trade deadline. When Holiday was down, I was like, you know, you get Cespedes, you got left, you got pistols in left and right with the Hayward and Cespedes. So he's been on my radar for a while. I just wonder why no team is talking about him or Upton.
Yeah, I think, like I said, it's just going to be one of those things that maybe they're playing a long game. And, you know, nowadays.
And sometimes it can work. I mean, you know, like the Nationals, they lost out on Hayward, too. I keep thinking they're going to jump back in and get maybe Upton or Cespedes, but they haven't.
No, but they've got, you know, of course, they've also got to save some money for Bryce Harper if they're going to.
Yes, they do, because he is going to. I think they're just going to give him a room in the White House. I don't know, maybe.
I tell you one thing. if in 2 years Moe's be able to make a significant play for Bryce Harper because of the stuff he hasn't done this offseason, you know, maybe
we'll know why.
Maybe we'll forgive him a little bit.
Or of course, my boy, Mr. Sandy, can opt out in a few years.
Yeah.
You know, bring him on over to right field. You know, Moe, if that's your long play, if Moe is being the gambler, if he's going to spend the whole night overnight at the casino at the table, just sitting there and sitting there, if that's his long play, I'm with you. I just need to know what your plan is.
Yeah. you know, when you talk about the concerns for the offense, I think we look at the outfield a lot and stuff, but I think we really need to start thinking about Johnny Peralta.
Yeah.
You know, he had definitely a great first half. I mean, MVP of the first half of the year last year.
Yeah, and we discussed it on one of our – I mean, remember what we discussed? If he hadn't hit that home run against the Cubs in Wrigley, mm-hmm. I mean, and, you know, he came up with some big hits. You don't know where we'd be, but then all of a sudden the second half, he just dropped off the map.
Yeah, and he could. And part of that was fatigue, of course, and that should be fixed a little bit with Jerko and probably a Greg Garcia maybe on the bench as well. You'll probably see him get a little bit more time off, but I don't think it was all fatigue. And I think that you have to be concerned because, you know, we thought when he signed that 4-year deal, we weren't sure what the last 2 years were going to look like. We thought he'd be moved off shortstop. Of course, that was before Matt Carpenter took over at third. You know, we thought that, you know, things might start to slow down and you get the good stuff in the first 2 years and the last 2 years you just had to, you know, kind of bite your tongue on. You know, not saying that he can't be productive and hopefully he will be. But when you're factoring this in, I mean, I don't think you're going to get a 20 home run guy. You know, if you get 15, you're probably doing pretty well for a guy that's getting older. So, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe Mo's still going to have some more to do. Maybe he'll, you know, they'll get to Jupiter and kind of look around and see what they've got. But we'll go from there.
I understand that, you know, he looks at these guys and they're not as much of a clear pitcher as Jason Hayward was. And I think we all know that, you know, as far as the, you know, I mean, and I think about Mo and I think about a guy who back in November, he thought he was going to land the best pitcher and the best hitter in the market. I mean, he had offers made up. He was ready to go. And now you flash forward a couple months and now you're without those guys. You're without that hitter that you wanted. So I really just wonder, and maybe that's where people will ask this next week at the Winter Warm-Up what his strategy is.
Yeah, and, you know, he wouldn't say it, but if Mo had no backup for those two guys, it'd look a lot like what we see now. You know, I think Mike Leake might have been the backup for David Price to some degree, and you could argue how much of that was a good thing, but... otherwise he just hasn't done much. And, you know, that may be by design. That may have been because he was caught flat-footed. I think it's more of design. I think Mo's got enough to have, you know, a couple of plans and able to see the long game. But, you know, again, you can't tell it from what we see, so you can't necessarily argue.
Yeah, I mean, and with Peralta, I mean, it's pretty clear. I mean, his OPS was at 824 in 2011, and now it's dropped down to 745 after 779 in 2014. So he is declining, and you just hope that, you know, if he goes into a rapid decline, I mean, could he become, you know, kind of a bench guy in the last part of the season and maybe one of those guys like, you know, one of the guys I'm really looking forward to seeing is Aledmys Diaz. He really had that great finish. I really wonder if he's going to fight with Greg Garcia for that utility spot, or if he's going to get a chance to really back up Peralta with Jerko, or is Jerko kind of put him on the back burner?
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. Let's transition a little bit off the field. Since we've spoke last, Chris Carrillo was charged in the hacking scandal and related to the break-in, if you will. To the Houston Astros system, with that charge, he pled guilty to it. We'll see. His sentencing is supposed to be, I think, the same day as the home opener, which is nice. Is it, given the way things have gone for the St. Louis and Missouri area over the last few months, that is kind of icing on the cake right there. But you know, we got to see a lot more of the case that the government had against him. One biggest thing, I think, the biggest takeaway that I had, one, it was not a one-time thing. Even though Correa says, you know, he got into it because he wanted to see if Houston had taken some Cardinal stuff, and he still maintains that they did, which is going to be interesting to see if the commissioner's office will look into that or if they'll just kind of ignore that. Whatever the case may be, whether they did or whether they didn't doesn't justify what he did. Don't get me wrong, but not only that, he accessed it 5 times. He, when they changed their passwords, he broke into, we assume Jeff Lednow's personal email, got the new password. He was accessing it during the draft. He was accessing trade discussions around the trade deadline in July. It becomes a lot more, you know, we originally thought, oh, this is just some kind of a prank type thing. And then when Korea was involved, we said, well, it's kind of a, you know, hey, he's looking for stuff for that they took. It seems to be a little bit more deliberate, a little bit more extensive than we thought. And it does also seem that the Cardinals are going to be very difficult for the Cardinals to, even though they've acted, I think, as well as they could, it's going to be difficult for them to avoid some punishment here as well.
I mean, I really agree. And I ran to people that say, oh, it's not a big deal. Like, it is a big deal. It's a federal crime. And the fact that he did it over and over again, and he looked at 118 pages of documents. And, you know, when you look at draft and analysis of free agency, that kind of stretches into the future. And, I mean, it's just one of those things where, I mean, yeah, the guilty plea, it's nice because it gives you an idea of closure, but you just don't know what the league's going to think about this. I mean, they can come down really hard on the Cardinals because all the evidence is there, and Correa said, yeah. I mean, the judge literally asked him, it was like you broke into their house. And he's like, yeah, it was stupid. And it's nice that he's not trying to beat around the bush, but it's just really 100%, I mean, just a legal action by a guy who was just put into a big role. I mean, when I think about Chris Correa, I think about a guy who was given the opportunity of a lifetime to work for an organization like the Cardinals, to be the head of their scouting, you know, the main man, and then he does this, and it's almost like he was like a college student who kept looking at the study manual. You know, he just couldn't put it away. He just kept looking at it and kept looking at it. And it's like you said, the multiple times he went in there, and the fact that he went back in and got new passwords, and he kept going in and in and in. And it's one of those things where, yes, when coupled with, you know, the Cody Stanley performance-enhancing drug, Alex Reyes test positive, it's just kind of a very dirty season for this Cardinal staff. And maybe this could be, you know, I'm pretty sure this is weighing on John Mozeliak's mind. All this stuff about you don't know what's going to happen when the sentencing comes. Maybe that's when Major League Baseball comes down on you with the penalty. It could be, you know, a big fine. It could be draft picks. But it's mostly just going to be, for me, the stain. I mean, it's, yeah, I mean, you know, can you lose a draft picks? Cardinals, I mean, we, you know, you lose that, it's fine. But it's just what happened. And yes, I mean, you know, if you can't attach it to anybody else, that's great if it's a one-time thing. But you don't know that. I mean, it's just, I mean, supposedly you never know, you know, who could just be playing like, you know, the silent type. Oh, no, I didn't have anything to do with that. But yes, well, maybe you did. And, you know, his guilty plea, it brings it to a close, but it brings it to a close in a very ugly way. And like you said, the details are not great. I just think if you think this is not a big deal, you need to rethink that notion. It's a very big deal. It doesn't matter if he had help or if it ran longer. It just, he broke the law over and over again. And that's what kind of drives me insane, is that he went back in and back mm-hmm. in. He looked at so much stuff. It isn't like you go, okay, I got nervous, you know, I looked at this. You should have just, I mean, the fact that you did over and over again just makes you so much more guilty, and it makes your organization look not guilty really like you are, but it's clueless that, you know, you bring this guy in and you trust him and he did this so repeatedly. I guess the repeated thing that he did really gets to me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you could hand wave away a one-time break-in, but I think you could... I think you could understand it more if
maybe
it was
like,
a one-time
thing. Maybe just a lapse in judgment, you know? Yeah. I mean, you're sitting at a computer, and you're like, oh, I kind of got these. Maybe if I just look... You know, it's almost like it's almost like when you skip to the end of a book. You don't want to do it, but you might look at the last page. You know, if you keep looking, and you keep looking, and you keep looking, you know, it just makes you look more guilty, and the fact that he admits to all of this, it's like a big pile of dirt is being poured on Busch Stadium right now. Yeah. And I think somebody either has a wicked sense of humor having the sentencing date be on the home opener, but it's not good. And I try to tell people that, and I keep getting, well, it's just, you know, it's just like, no, it's not good. I mean, it just, the lingering aspect for me, the way it makes the organization look, is this going to be, because, you know, when they hire a new guy and then they go, okay, is this guy, the whole thing's going to be, was this guy going to be breaking into the Pirates? You know, and it's just going to be one of those things where, you know, it's that lingering stain. It's almost like when you spill oil on your pants. And, you know, unlike most stains, you can't get it out. It's just going to be there. You have to keep scrubbing and keep scrubbing. I wonder how long the Cardinals are going to have to scrub.
Yeah, it could very well. I mean, the public opinion is always going to be that way. Public opinion was going to be that way anyway, because it typically does not go in the Cardinals' favor anyway. But, you know, if he goes in one time and he's looking for, you know, because he does genuinely, and I believe this completely, he genuinely feels like that Houston took stuff, or Jeff Lednow and maybe Sigma Dahl took stuff that they should not have taken when they left St. Louis. And maybe they did, maybe they didn't. I wouldn't be surprised if they did. Let me put it that way. But so I can understand him doing that. It wouldn't hand wave it away. He would still need to be punished, and it's still not right. But I could understand that. I could understand that idea of, well, I've got the password, I'm going to try it out. Let me see if they've got something here, and then we'll go from there. Maybe, you know, figure out a way to do something from there. But, you know, like we've talked about before, I think, you know, you watch those TV shows, and it's kind of that ends justify the means, and you find the smoking gun, and people just kind of ignore how you found it. But, yeah, going back in and doing stuff, you know, viewing stuff that didn't seem to have any relevance to that, and more importantly, stuff that was so... I mean, like somebody pointed out, you know, in that draft that he was accessing information for, and it wasn't the first round, and we kind of think, oh, it was late in the day. It was like third day. But those kind of guys can be important, too. He was accessing stuff, and the Cardinals were picking right before Houston, because they were picking last in a round, and Houston was picking first in a round. So, you know, he gave you kind of an idea of, oh, should we take this guy now, or can we wait? You know, that kind of thing, and that's... You know, that's an unfair advantage to some degree. Well, no, it is an unfair advantage. And then trade discussions. I mean, if you know what Houston's, you know, talking with, you know people that are available, and you know what people are asking for, and it's just not right. So it will be interesting to see what Correa gets in sentencing. I don't imagine it will be too light because of what he does. You know, it's corporate espionage. He's not likely going to Rikers or anything of that nature. But you know, he's probably going to go to jail. And even a country club jail is still a jail. And so he will probably be doing that for a little bit of time. I think the Cardinals are going to get punished. Now, you know, it somewhat feels unfair because it does, as far as all from all accounts so far, it was just one man. As soon as the club found out, they got rid of him. They did their own investigation. They've done all this other stuff. So it feels like they've done everything they can do. Why should they still get punished? But on the flip side of that, you know, they did benefit from that information, unwillingly or not. And he was their employee, and so they do have a bit of a, you know, a burden there of responsibility. So I wonder if the Cardinals have it, and it may tie into them not going after a guy like Upton, because they're afraid they're going to lose a couple of draft picks anyway, or some pool money or fines or something. And they're afraid they're going to lose a draft pick or two this year, and they want to make sure that they have the two, as many as they can before they get punished. I don't know. I don't know if the commissioner will work that fast, although, you know, he still has, you know, probably he could punish them before May, with draft picks and still be reasonable. You know, this is a guy, on the flip side, this is a guy that Bill DeWitt helped put into the commissioner's office. I don't know that you're going to see the, you know, levers of power being pulled like that. And hopefully the commissioner doesn't go overboard trying to prove that he's not being favoritism. But I think that's the next thing. I think that may be the last thing that we get out of this thing, is whatever punishment they get. That's going to kind of hang over their heads for a while until it comes down.
It is, and it's just that it's that long lingering thing where you'd hope that MLB would just kind of dish out their judgment, but maybe they'll wait till Correa gets his, and it's another waiting game. It's another, you know, couple months, and you want to be excited about the season that's at hand, that's coming on. You're gonna have that suspension and that verdict thing kind of hanging over everything, and that's just, you know, from last June up until now, it's just been one of those lingering clouds that kind of hangs away from Busch Stadium. And you just hope that whatever it is, it comes down. And I mean, if it's a loss of draft picks, maybe a couple draft picks are fine. You just kind of, you do it, you move on, and you just put this behind you, because it's one of those things where you just really want to get this over with, because the more it lingers on, the more people talk about it, and, you know, all the details come out, and everybody takes their stance, and then maybe he's gonna maybe somebody shifts their stance and goes, okay, well, how about this? But for me, I just hope that, you know, the lingering, I mean, of course, you won't know the lingering effects until, you know, I mean, of course, years down the road, but I just kind of want it out of the way so we can get down to that thing we call baseball.
Yeah. We've got arbitration filings. The money gets exchanged on Friday, I think, so we don't necessarily know what everybody's asking for. The four guys that are out there, Trevor Rosenthal, Brandon Moss, Seth Maness, Matt Adams, all guys. You know, Adams is probably got the weakest case. Moss is going to be able to build some. Mainly, he starts out with a high mount. The Cardinals haven't gone to arbitration hearing since 1999 with Darren Oliver. So, and that's not even the longest streak in baseball, though. It's one of the longest ones. People don't tend to go to arbitration cases anymore. I feel like there's just not as many arbitration hearings as there used to be. People settle either at the midpoint or something. They get it done because it's an ugly process. I mean, you go in there and you have to tell, you know, the player, you know, you suck, you're terrible. This is why we shouldn't pay
and then,
you.
And then if we agree, I want you to give me your everything.
Yeah, and then at the end of it, you got to say, oh, no hard feelings. Let's go out there and win some ball games. You know, and you know that can cause some problems. So I think teams try to shy away from that. Being said, there's four guys here that could be some serious work for Mo to try to avoid some arbitration. The biggest, of course, is Trevor Rosenthal. You know, we were talking a little bit before we came on air. We've always thought that Trevor is going to get like a 2-3 year deal this offseason and, you know, buy out those arbitration years. Still may happen, but some stuff that I have seen seems to put him a little bit less of a priority than we thought. But it still seems pretty reasonable to try to go ahead and, although again, like I said, you know, Jordan Walden signed a 2-year deal. We've barely getting anything out of him. Jason Mott signed a 2-year deal.
Yeah.
He's barely got anything out of him. Seems like there was another pitcher that we had at one point in time that we signed to a deal like that and got hurt. Maybe they're a little afraid of signing Rosenthal to a big 2-year deal and then having him go down. And he's not shown any injury problems yet, but, you know, they usually don't until they show up. So
yeah,
maybe that's factoring in. But I don't know. Do you see them going to arbitration? Do you think they settle with everybody?
I really think they're going to settle. I mean, I think, you know, I mean, is it Rosenthal, Moss, and who are the other two guys?
Maness and Adams.
See, I think with Maness and Adams, those are almost like, okay, Adams has something to prove, so he's going to go ahead and take that. I mean, that should be the easiest, I think.
Yeah.
And then Moss, with coming off the injury plugged year, he's, you know, he wants to have a good 1-year contract so he can get that maybe one last deal next year. Maness is a guy, he's got a great role here. Mike Matheny, if Seth Maness was a car salesman, he worked 7 days a week and Mike Matheny was the boss. So, I mean, he knows he has a job here. He knows he's got a distinct role. He pitches a lot no matter. It doesn't matter if the Cardinals sign 4 pitchers from Korea. Seth Maness is going to get his innings, folks. I mean, that's basically the way it is. The guy's left, his right elbow is basically spaghetti. So I think those are easy. But, yeah, Rosenthal, I mean, you know, he didn't make the Cardinals case any easier when he had a really good 2015. After having – I mean, if you would have had another shaky 2004-esque where he had a lot of saves but put a lot of guys on base, maybe. But he had a very sharp season. He's very young. He has not kept it secret that he wants to be a starter down the road, hopefully, in whatever, you know, future he thinks. I mean, you have two guys down there, like in Seacrest and Rosenthal, that, you know, could be stretched out to starters. And I've always kind of thought, well, maybe if you want, you know, it could be part of their trade value to their team. But with Rosenthal, I do. I think it's going to be a 2 or 3 year deal. I don't think they'll go to arbitration. I don't think you'll go to arbitration with your closer. Go, yeah, you're not worthless. But then when it's like September 28th and we're hanging on by a division lead and you need to close it, don't think about this trial, okay? But it's. I think he's like the. Yeah, I think he's easily the biggest case. Those other guys. You know, I think, I mean, I think there can be some back and forth, but I think, I mean, I remember like 2014 when the warm-up, Descalzo came there and he hadn't gotten his deal. He kind of seemed a little, kind of a little off about it. And then I think, you know, right after that, they brought him in. But, you know, you, I mean, these guys don't want to, I mean, these, obviously you don't want to go to spring training thinking about contracts. You know, you don't want to spend any more weeks here as the season's coming upon you. Of course, you know, you're going to the winter warm-up, you're talking to the fans, you want to have this stuff done. So I think a lot of them are going to be pretty quick, but I think the Cardinals and Rosenthal could easily come to a 2 or 3. A 2-year deal looks really good because, you know, with the way that his arm could go kaboom in any moment and with their reluctance to maybe do a 3rd year, I think because of his age and how he's improved, maybe you do a 3rd year option. But I think a 2-year deal is pretty – it could be agreed pretty fast. Well, hopefully it is. I mean, but like you said, there could be a – is there a hanging chad with them and Rosenthal that we just don't know about?
Yeah, I think – like I said, I think they'll get it done. I think they've been focused on the free agent market. And, you know, there's probably been some discussions with the agents. But, you know, they may not really know – they may have wanted to wait till the arbitration numbers get exchanged so they know what ballpark they're playing in. And see where they're at and see if they can find some middle ground. It very well maybe they don't want to do it a long-term deal. I mean, they have been piling up guys that have closing experience, as we talked about earlier. So, you know, maybe they don't want to go that route. But I think you're right. I think that gets done. You know, I think Moss and them, they'll all probably – I mean, if nothing else, all the money they've not spent this offseason should help them, you know, buy out some arbitration if they need to. I mean, you can pay – Brandon Moss $8 million if you need to, and it's really not going to affect the bottom line, at least not as much as you expected to, you know, like a Jason Hayward to do. So, you know, I expect that they'll get them done. I don't remember when arbitration hearings actually are. Let me see if I can find that in this article that that Rick Hummel put up today. Does not seem to say when they are. It's after spring training starts. Want to say it's kind of, you know, late February, early March when those hearings usually get heard. So you got a little bit of time. And it's possible, I mean, you know, it's not unheard of for the Cardinals to break news during the winter warm-up. And maybe we'll have somebody, you know, somebody may sign Rosenthal to an extension this week. And, have him there to answer questions about it at the warm-up. Who knows? Probably not, but it's possible. Speaking of, winter warm-up starts this weekend. Mr. Buffa is going to go cover it along with three other bloggers for the fourth year in a row, I believe. The Cardinals have extended it credentials to a select number of bloggers, and Mr. Buffa is one of them. It should be an interesting time. What are you looking forward to seeing? What kind of questions are you preparing for this weekend?
No, I mean, it's really, I mean, it's a combination of stuff. I really want to talk to Holiday about, you know, because he's on a, you know, this is kind of like his last year before his option. I mean, what's going through his mind? And, you know, Wayne, you know, he's always somebody that's cool to talk to. He's very candid with the media. I mean, it'll be a lot of this. It would really depend on a lot of this, the arbitration stuff, too. And I'm sure Mozeliak will have a very spirited session with the media where he'll just be dry as ever. And, I have a feeling the Korea thing's going to come up, and that's going to be kind of – I mean, there's a lot of lingering stuff, and, of course, we're all going to discuss and try to talk about, you know, the free agents on the market. And I mean, I'm always just kind of looking forward to seeing certain players. I mean, you know, Matt Holiday and Wainwright getting a chance to ask these guys some questions. Carlos Martinez is now – I mean, he's come so far from when I first saw him 2 years ago. But it'd be good to kind of talk to him, Michael Wacha. I mean, I guess there's a lot of things. I mean, we're not going to ask Mike Leake about his shoplifting. I mean, we're not going to say, you've been to Macy's yet? No, but I mean, it's really, I mean, a lot of stuff that I really kind of put together. I kind of wait to the, you know, a couple of days before, maybe tomorrow or Friday, I'll kind of start putting some stuff together. I mean, I'm not like Matt Whitner, who basically kind of has this whole idea. And the way to tackle, I mean, the guy's a professional. I just try to be half the writer that Matt is. He usually goes in there with a whole game plan. I'm just kind of going in there as I usually do, just kind of winging it.
Well, I know that it'll be a fun time, and I know you'll get a lot of good information, and good thing that you have 20 different places that you can write at, so you can give each of them an exclusive.
You know it.
So... I think Dathan Brooks is going to go, and for the Conclave, yes, like I said, Matt Whitener will be there, and
Kevin Reynolds.
I drew a blank there for a minute. Yes, Kevin Reynolds, who is gone. I think he's gone every year. Maybe he missed the first year. He's covered it for me for a couple times, and then gone on his own as well. So he will be there as well. So it should be a good time. I'm sure there will be a lot of Joe Strauss stories. Told
definitely
the thing, but it should be a fun weekend. Interestingly enough, I see that Ryan Ludwig is going to be up there. Ryan Ludwig is expected to have a role in the Cardinals organization this year, which is something that John Mozeliak does quite a bit of. You know, Ryan Franklin is there. You know, Randy Flores is now the scouting director. You know, we've had some other guys that have been involved with the organization, whether a short-term thing or more long-term. So, interesting to see. I had realized that Ludwig was retired. He only spent a few years here in St. Louis, but really became a fan favorite. And it's kind of good to see him kind of back in the fold.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of Mo's kind of first big deals, kind of pulling him over from the Indians when he was kind of the bum shoulder, and he really turned into a big producer here, and it was kind of hard to see him go for Jake Westbrook. You know, when that trade was made, I was very disappointed. I think that the night before, you know, Luddy had a big hit that kind of helped the Cardinals win the game, and then in the next, you know, day he was traded, and, you know, I guess down the road with what Westbrook kind of did with his versatility, it still made you really sad to lose a guy like Ludwig who kind of gave you that number four hitter. You know, he's a good producer, a good outfielder, he had a good arm, he just kind of did a lot of things very well, and, you know, up until like last year and year before injuries got him, he was actually a pretty productive player.
Yeah, he really was. I remember, actually, it's kind of funny, the first time I ever did anything in St. Louis at the new ballpark was 2010, and two of us, three of us counting myself, were able to take the Fox Sports backstage tour, if you will. We got a chance to go to the truck. We got a chance to talk to, you know, Hayes and McLaughlin and all this other stuff. And we were in the press box, actually, looking at the press box when Ryan Ludwig makes his first at-bat as a member of the San Diego Padres. First time he had come into St. Louis since being traded. Of course, the crowd is going wild, but we're in the press box, so we're not allowed to. No cheering in the press box. So we had to stay quiet while watching everybody else giving him a standing ovation and stuff. So it was kind of an interesting thing. So we'll be interesting to see how involved he is with the Cardinal organization going forward. Cardinals also announced today, put out the press release that every game in Jupiter this year is going to be either on TV, on radio, or being streaming either through the Cardinals website or the MLB at-bat app. First time that we've ever been able to have coverage of every single game. And so that's kind of interesting. It's very interesting to know that they're doing the 10 games, I think it's 10 games, streaming through the Cardinals website. I don't know if that has something to do with this, you know, agreement that they've got going, you know, where you can stream in market. I you know, maybe it's just spring training. But they're going to have 10, you know, the 10 games on Cardinals.com. You'll have some different voices, including another former Cardinal, Kyle McClellan, is going to be involved with that as well. Mike Claiborne, Tom Ackerman, and Chris Harvey will be the others. You know, it'd be kind of interesting to hear a Cardinal game broadcast by the Cardinals and not hear Shannon and Rooney. Now, they'll be on the games that KMOX does, obviously, but this will be a little different listen.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, I remember a day and age where you couldn't watch barely, you know, any spring training mm-hmm. games, and while I'm the kind of guy that I want spring training kind of come and go so everybody stays healthy, I always get kind of nervous about that. It'll be good to watch a lot of these young guys, the guys that are going to be kind of fringe players, to watch a guy like Aledmys Diaz, see what he does, you know, maybe get a little look at a guy like Luke Weaver, these guys that are kind of maybe in Double A, Triple A, but you know, it's a good chance to see the young guys. It's kind of like when you watch college sports, you get a chance to see these guys that are on the cusp. And you know, of course, you get to see how, you know, Holiday's moving, how Molina looks. It's just kind of that first kind of brush stroke of the early goings of the season. So it's good that a lot of them are on. Like I said, back in the day, I mean, I don't think we could watch, you know, barely any games.
No, especially, I mean, KMOX, I think, has always covered some, maybe the weekend games occasional here and there. And over the last few years, that has expanded into more daytime games. But Fox Sports Midwest, it seemed like, you know, maybe by the end of spring training, they'd show a few games. Then they kind of expanded it out to 10 or 11. And now they're covering, I think, about 15 games this year, starting as early as the first Saturday against the Marlins on March 5th. So that's, I mean, you're looking at, what, 6 weeks until you can actually see baseball on your TV screen.
Yeah.
You know, that'll warm you up as well. And make you feel pretty good. So, let's see. I'm looking. There's one game, two games on ESPN. One game is also on Fox. That it's Fox Sports Midwest and ESPN. So ESPN's probably just gonna take that broadcast and put it on their station. But in case you don't get Fox Sports Midwest, there's a couple games there. There'll be a couple of days. It's not on this schedule, but there'll be some days where they're on MLB Network either through the Fox feed or the opponent's feed. And like you said, every game you can listen to one way or another. So it's good. Like you said, it's good to that dead time of is shorter when you can have that kind of thing. If you take March and you can have baseball in March, then all you have to do is get through like those 2 weeks in February where their pitchers and catchers are going, and that's all you have to do.
Oh yeah, I mean it's going to be great. For me, it's like a double-edged sword. I don't want anybody getting hurt, but it's always really good to see the guys back in action. So, and getting a chance to see all the young guys, the guys that are probably aren't going to make the team, but you're going to be seeing them soon enough with the way the Cardinals go through players. I mean, you know, there's not as many waiting in the wings at Memphis, but I'm pretty sure we'll get a chance to see, you know, Sam Tuivasa. Hopefully, get a little Aledmys Diaz. Hopefully, Greg Garcia can have a good showing. So. You know, and you also get a look at new guys. I mean, spring training is when you get a chance to see Mike Leake. You get a chance to see maybe Mr. O, as I'm going to call him. I'm not going to try that first name, but it's going to be shredded if I try. I mean, I think I'm going to try to get his name right one time this season. I mean, if I just nail it one night, a perfect amount of water and coffee, it just comes off the lips perfectly. But from toe on in, it's Mr. O. So yeah, seeing new guys is always going to be kind of one of the perks of spring training. And of course, I'm kind of really looking forward to. Do you know that is he going to stick around for the winter warm, Mr. O?
I don't know. It will be interesting. Of course, obviously.
I would think so, but I wouldn't think it'd be a given.
I don't imagine he will. Obviously, he's uses a translator. I don't believe knows, as far as I know, doesn't know any or very limited English, and so has a translator for everything. I think that autograph signing and stuff like that might be a little bit difficult, and most of the players are doing that as well as interviews. I don't know. Again, I haven't heard, haven't seen. My feeling is he will not be there, but, you know, I don't know what this you know, he may be that he's in the States now for good, and he might as well. I don't know for sure. So I guess you'll find out.
Yes, I will. I will. I will have the full report. I'm going to, you know, I mean, I don't know how those other guys write, but you know, I'll be firing out stories left and right. It's just, I do that because I know people, they really want to act like they're in that room with me. And that's kind of why I try to be like when I was there last time. I want the people that read my stuff to be in there with me and get the take. I try to, you know, utilize Twitter and take some pictures and get some good quotes. So I'll be covering it pretty well.
All right. Well, that'll probably cover most of the baseball stuff. Dan, I do not know if you had any Powerball numbers. But
actually, I tell you what, I do, and my wife is out there, so I'm gonna wait till the end, and unless she screams at me, so
she hadn't screamed yet. You're probably okay. They have announced the numbers, and I kind of look at them because I figure if I ever played, and I don't, although if nobody wins tonight and it goes up to like $2 billion, I may have to break down. Looking at the numbers, thinking, would I have played anything like that if I picked it? And I don't think so. There's not a whole lot of cardinal tie there. 8, 27, 34, 4, 19, 10. Well, you know, 10's a retired number for the Cardinals. 4 would be Molina. 27, you got a Scott Rolen in there. What, 34
eight,
is Dizzy
eight
Dean.
Is 8 Gary Gaetti? No.
No, eight now is Mike Leake.
That's Mike Leake. There you go.
8 as a pitcher. 19, what was that? That was John Jay, wasn't it, for a while?
Yeah.
I don't think I'd have been playing those numbers if I picked them out. I know our friend Joe Schwartz put out on Twitter tonight that if the numbers were the uniform numbers of the Cardinals rotation, you wouldn't see him. Seemed to be what he had played were the Cardinal rotation's numbers. So anyway, I believe that we will probably, well, I'll be going to work tomorrow and you'll be staying at home tomorrow, which you always do.
Your wife will have
to go to work tomorrow, and
that's right. I'm a stay at home dad writer. I'm pretty much laundry and dishes are pretty much my job.
Yeah, there you go. And that's unfortunately you can't pay anybody to do that one for you now.
No,
so, entertainment stuff. What do we got this week? It's been a couple weeks since we've talked. What are you watching?
I'm looking forward to tomorrow. Tomorrow's the Oscar nominations. They come out. I'm hoping I watch the Globes. I'm hoping that my dark horse, not really dark horse, but hoping that Mr. Stallone gets nominated for Creed. That's a movie. If it's in theaters, folks, you should really go see it. If you're a fan of the Rocky Balboa series or not, it's a great new kind of youthful movie where he gets to really, you know, bite into this role and give a great performance. Leonardo DiCaprio was really good in The Revenant. It's a little bit of a Castaway, kind of Last of the Mohicans. There's the stockbroker movie, The Big Short. You know, there's a lot of, I mean, it's a very big popular time of the year where all the, you have the studios that are kind of dumping out the movies in January that they didn't want to release anywhere else, and you also have the Oscar movies that are kind of filtered to theaters. So I'm just kind of waiting for the Oscar nominations to come out tomorrow. So that's pretty much where I'm thinking about. I haven't really been to the theater in a little while.
Yeah, and I have yet to be back to see Star Wars again. So I keep thinking I need to get out to see it in IMAX or 3D, and I have yet to do that. So I need to hopefully do that soon.
Oh,
so.
Definitely. Yeah. It is the number one movie of all time.
Domestically, yes. It still has a lot for overall. It's, you know, Avatar made 2 point something billion
That's crazy.
Was just two point something million. That was just overseas. I mean, they made 2.7 or so overall. Star Wars passed it in the domestic market. Probably not going to catch it overall.
Probably not, man. Unless they just become like monstrous, like, yes, you know, Stormtrooper and Han Solo fans over there.
Yeah, it's about 1 billion off of that. And, you know, it's playing well in China from what I can tell. And it's going to be around for a while. You know, could make over $1 billion in America.
Well, I mean, it's only been out. It hasn't even been out a month yet, and it's just crazy how it's done that well. Yeah. December 17th was when it came out, right? Or the 18th or the 17th?
Well, yeah, early showings were on the 17th. And,
yeah, so I mean, we're still 4 days away from that. It's crazy. Yeah. It seems like it's been out for months.
Yeah, it does. It does seem like. But, you know, like you say, it's going to hit that time. There's going to be some good movies coming out, some movies that are going to start eating into it. And you know, they're going to start transitioning the focus into Rogue One, which will come out this December. And while it won't do this kind of crazy business, no Star Wars movie from now on probably will, it's still going to be pretty successful probably too. So, be worth checking out. All right. Well, Dan, have a safe trip up to St. Louis. We look forward to your stuff, writing, and then we'll have plenty to talk about when we get back, probably in a couple of weeks, back to the next episode of Best Dan. So enjoy yourself.
All right. You too. You have a nice night, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to The Best Dan's in Baseball. We'd love to have your feedback on the show. Email us at bestdansinbaseball@gmail.com. Dan Buffa can be found on Twitter at Buffa82, Daniel Shoptaw at C70. The show's Twitter handle is Best Dan, BASEBAL1. You can also find us on Facebook under Best Dance in Baseball.